This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Live from West Palm Beach. Thanks to Academy Sports and Outdoors and Exclusive Furniture. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, let's do this. We are here in West Palm Beach. We're excited to be here. Academy Sports and Outdoors, Exclusive Furniture, getting us here. We thank them for that. It's been a good month, man. First New Orleans at the beginning of the month, West Palm Beach the end of the month. This is fun.
Where are we going next month?
Yeah, where are we going?
The Parker, draft?
Where are we going next month? Where are we going, Dad?
Do we get to go to Indianapolis?
Yeah.
God, I hope not.
No. Draft is in Green.
Airborne syphilis. That's draft? What they've got going on up there now.
Green Bay this year, right? The draft?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, draft.
Get it done, Parker.
Yeah.
what do you even do for this company?
Don't work on that.
Yeah.
All right, so this is a very different spring training than the one we were at 2 years ago, as we pointed out a few times. See, 2 years ago, they're coming off a World Series championship.
I remember that.
This year, they're coming off a sweep at the hands of the Detroit Tigers in the wild card round.
I barely remember that.
In the wild card. We're coming off a season in which they actually played in the wild card round.
I defect. I know. I was just like,
we're not used to that.
I always thought that was just a myth.
Yeah.
I didn't even know there was
that. It exists.
That was real?
Yeah.
Okay.
They really have a wild card round.
But I've taken the offseason to adapt and adjust. Justin, I'm actually genuinely more excited in some respects than I have been in a long time about an Astros spring training.
Okay, so let's start there. The three things you are most excited about.
This one that I had moved from extreme skepticism to now I'm genuinely excited about is seeing Jose Altuve in left field.
I am too.
Right. And listen, look, there have been short outfielders before. Tony Kemp is short. There you go. Point proven. But I'm not worried about that. What?
I'm convinced. You got me sold. I don't. Yeah, I'm laughing at how easy it was.
No, I do think that if you look at Altuve, and it's really since the shift was banned, especially that coincided with Altuve getting older, and it's become harder and harder for him to play at second base.
Yeah.
I'm actually excited about him extending his career the same way they did with Biggio before him, and Biggio did it 2 years later than Altuve is doing it now. The thing that makes me a little bit nervous is the concessions they're already making because Altuve is going to be in left field.
Oh, tell me.
Oh, well, hey, don't worry about it. We got Jake Myers in center field, who's one of the rangiest guys in the league. We're like, well, yeah, but I just so if
he hits
Jake Myers, if he has to play center field because you got to protect Altuve,
yeah.
Like, okay, can we at least make him bat above 150? And then the other is what we saw last week, which is, hey, no big deal. Jerry Peña just sets up deeper in the outfield for the relay throws because Altuve's arm isn't
throw
that
it
strong.
Longer,
yeah. So we're two ifs into this already. Peña's, where I'm starting to get a little bit nervous.
Peña's going to wind up getting Tommy John surgery because the throws to the plate are too far.
I think, but I want to see how this affects Altuve, and I'm genuinely excited about
this.
This
is the part that is intriguing to me. Yeah. Is that part of why they're talking about moving Altuve to left field? From what I've heard. Maybe it's speculation, maybe it's actual reports, is that that they hope it's less taxing on him than second base.
Oh, for sure.
I'm curious about that. Like, I know there's a lot of standing around in the outfield.
Yeah.
But like there's a lot of times you're doing a lot of sprinting.
You're running, yeah, some hardcore sprinting.
I'm just curious about the sports science behind that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like someone that actually justifies that. Explain it to me like I'm an eighth grader.
Well, the actual total number of times you're involved in the action, and then the number of throws you have to make.
Yeah.
I think that's where I look at the positive side of it is, hey, he's got to adjust his throwing motion somewhat and, you know, be able to get some distance on his throws and throw more over the top, but it's not as many times per game. Having a rangy Jake Myers does help,
yeah,
as much as I hate like relying on having to have Jake Myers out there.
Well, you're
and
not
then especially if you're in Minute Maid Park, it's not as much running.
You're not in harm's way at second base either, turning double plays,
yeah,
you know, stuff like that. I mean, that's gotten less dicey as they've kind of tweaked things so you can't just barrel into guys and whatnot. But yeah.
Other thing that I'm genuinely excited about, Cam Smith.
Cam Smith, me too.
The actual appearance of Cam Smith. Does he show up in the majors this year? I'm excited to watch him this week.
Okay.
And the one reservation I have about Cam Smith is in Brian McTaggart's article this weekend. It was either him or Matt Kawahara.
I'm looking at the article. It's McTaggart.
Cam Smith's favorite player is Yasiel Puig. Basically idolized him as a youth. Cam Smith is very, very energetic. I hope this is some tamped down version of Yasiel Puig. I don't need to see no stinking bat licking.
No.
Okay, Cam Smith?
No.
Please try to emulate the energy of Yasiel Puig, but not the extreme weirdness.
Okay, let me read the quote and see if this quells your concerns or fuels your concerns. This is Cam Smith talking about Yasiel Puig, former Dodgers nut job. quote, I wouldn't point out tools or anything because everybody's got that. But when a big moment comes up, I like to let my energy out and let out that roar. I'm an advocate of that, showing those emotions. I would say that's the difference in my game.
Okay, good.
End quote.
Okay. Yeah. He's emotional, and he lets it show. We like that.
Channel it properly. He's living with his parents right now, you know.
Yeah, like 20 minutes south of here.
Yeah, he was really excited to get traded to the Astros because his folks can come see him play in spring training. I'm like, you know, the rest of the year you're going to be in Houston.
I wonder if they still haze him at his house, though. Like, if they're going to have to clear it with his parents first and then maybe just barge in at 4 a.m. and shave his head or something. I don't
know. Oh, are they toilet paper his parents' trees?
Yeah.
Soap their windows.
You gotta clear it with the parents first, though, too. You might get shot.
That's true.
That's the real hazard of
it. So you're excited to see Cam Smith?
I'm excited to see Cam Smith.
So Altuve in left field,
yep.
Cam Smith, the civilized Yasiel Puig.
Yep.
And then we've talked about the third one.
John Singleton is yoked.
Jacked
if you're just
up
waking
John
up
Singleton.
Right now, then you've missed the first hour and a half of John Singleton's workout.
Jacked up Johnny.
Because no sarcasm. He's been working out 3 to 4 hours per day.
Yep.
And usually people say that, and you're like, all right,
he
sat around and stretched and watched TV. He looks like he's been getting after it in the offseason. And the
different.
Astros players are saying, man, you really see his routine in the morning. He limited his carbs. He's monitoring his calories. And he lost 25 pounds, and he looks really good. Lost 25 pounds, but he's the strongest he's ever been in the weight room.
Limiting your carbs when you've had carbs all those many years. Not easy to do,
It looks like he's enjoyed some carbs through the years.
Through the years, it looks like he has.
Especially when you go through a phase of your life where you can't stop smoking weed.
Yes.
You definitely have been taking in some carbs.
The carbs come with that. That, man.
Just if 50% of your calories are 7-Eleven at that point.
Damn right.
Yeah, so now just maintaining it, and as listeners pointed out earlier, okay, is that going to improve his eye? Hopefully, theoretically, if he can just be a little bit more fluid and it helps his bat speed and he can just wait on the ball a little bit more, maybe it does help his eye. And look, you signed a gold glover first baseman. You're not going to worry about having to roll John Singleton out there at first. He can just focus on being a pinch hitter.
Oh, yeah, no, Singleton's avenue to making this team is as a role player, as a pinch hitter, a lefty bat off the bench for sure. All right, so those are three things you're legitimately amped up about. Okay. Now, three things you're intrigued by.
Okay, intrigued because I don't know whether you get excited about it or not.
Okay.
But a combination of Paredes and his famous plate discipline. Last year, he took more strikes that were balls than anybody
screwed,
in baseball.
He got screwed by the umps more than anybody in baseball.
He had more called strikes that were actually balls more than anybody else in baseball.
I'm sure him getting on the Astros will rectify that. Nobody hates the Astros.
Well, he's going to be a replacement for Bregman in that regard.
Yeah,
you know, when
true.
Bregman would look back at the ump, and you know for sure, like, Bregman 99% of the time
he's
was more correct than the ump.
Yep.
But we're seeing the automated strike zone in some of these spring training games.
Do we know which ones yet?
It's not in any of the Cacti Park ones because they don't have the capabilities. But it's Robert Ford had said it was at some of the away games for the Astros.
Okay.
So we'll check for this week.
Hopefully, we're only going to one away game. It's on Thursday at Port St. Lucie. They're playing the Mets.
I think the Mets are one of them.
Okay, okay.
So we might see it. So this is the way it works, kids. You get two challenges per game. If you're successful, if you challenge a call and you're successful, you get that challenge back.
Yeah.
But the way that most teams are operating is, because this is the other part that operates, the manager is not allowed to call it. It has to be called within a couple of seconds after the pitch crosses the plate. And the challenge can only come from the catcher, the batter, or the pitcher.
Okay.
And most teams prefer that the catcher be the guy that's making the call. They don't want pitchers making the call.
Yeah.
Because pitchers are always convinced they got screwed when
the
catcher
allowed it. Framber would use them both in the first inning.
Yeah. So
you only get two total, either offensively or defensively.
I believe so, yeah. And as long as you – but if you're successful, then you get that challenge back.
Yeah.
So you could keep multiple – if you got a really crappy
ump. You get two wrong challenges, basically.
So you're going to – I would imagine certain batters, they definitely don't want making the call.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Like, if you were Joe Espada, like – I think this is something you have to have rules on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, my first rule would be I'm only doing this – if it's a third strike. I'm not doing it on strike one or strike two.
Yeah.
I'm only doing it on if it's causing an out.
I would say, but if it's something egregious, maybe. And you don't want your guys thinking about it too much. The guys in AAA have already seen this, but for a lot of the major league guys, they've never seen it. You don't think even – what about Paredes? So Paredes got a really good eye, and he knows for sure he got hosed.
I think I'd keep it just at two strikes because I think the emotion can get fueled while you're in that batter's box or whatever, man. You end up using – I don't know. Because, strike three is high leverage. That's an out.
Yeah.
If they screw up a call on strike one or strike two, you still have a chance to make something out of the at-bat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm just saying for me, I would say I would only do it on a third strike. And offensively, I would have a very specific list of guys who are allowed to – because it's so bang-bang like you're talking about. Like, I would have a – like, Yordan would be allowed to do it. Altuve – boy, I don't even know about Altuve. Altuve's so wacky sometimes with what he chases and whatnot. Like, I don't know how great his eye is.
Does Altuve actually know that he's chasing?
Yeah, Altuve might not be on that list, honestly. Yeah. Yordan would for sure. I guess Paredes would be, even though I've never watched him as an Astro yet. And then probably a couple – like, if Bregman were still here, he would be on that list for sure. But I do think because the decision needs to be made so quickly – you've got to take it out of the hands of certain guys. You
right.
know what I mean?
Well, then the other question, too, is I've seen a lot of people say, well, hey, if they bring in the automated strike zone in 2026, then Yiner Diaz's pitch framing won't be as much of an issue, which I don't – the fact that it's a challenge system, the pitch framing still totally and definitely matters because you're fooling – you're trying to fool the ump, and if it's a borderline call, the batter's not going to – call it if it's borderline. So I think pitch framing is still going to be a thing. Maybe it doesn't hurt you quite as much.
Yeah.
But Yiner's got to continue to improve his pitch framing.
All right, so Paredes' discipline in the automated strike zone, intrigued by. What's number two intrigued by?
The combination of Bryce Matthews and Zach DiCenzo.
Yeah.
That those two guys that showed a lot of promise, but also showed a lot of needing to understand what Major League Baseball is about. They both did a good job of walking, but struck out a boatload. They both spent time in the offseason in Puerto Rico. There's nothing but positive reports about them. But these are guys that are in DiCenzo moving to the outfield is making kind of a big transition.
Yeah.
Bryce Matthews, who in college had been mostly on the left side, playing shortstop and third base. He's played second base before, but it's a bit of an adjustment for him.
Yeah.
The one of those two guys is we're probably going to see a bunch of this year. And I'm very intrigued by them this
year. Well, and they also, I guess, are sort of lead-ins to your third thing here.
Yeah.
Which is the potential Arenado trade. And I say that because who knows if you're trading for Nolan Arenado, who knows who's Bryce Matthews or DiCenzo or any number of other guys could be on their way to St. Louis as part of the
deal. Yeah, and Arenado, like, seriously, get this stick out of your butt and stop being so choosy about where you go.
It is weird. This is the first time I can remember in a long time that a prominent player would not want to come to the Houston Astros. You know what I mean? Like, it's even in the wake of the sign-stealing scandal, they were still able to get guys to come here. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's interesting. I'd like maybe he was just waiting on a better opportunity. So for those who don't know the timeline, the first time that they thought they had a deal lined up for Nolan Arenado, he exercised his no-trade clause and said no to coming here because it was right after the Kyle Tucker trade. And he was fearful that this might be a team that is more going in a rebuild direction than competing for a World Series championship. Since then, they've signed Christian Walker, and you know they've hung in the Bregman sweepstakes till the, at least they said they did, until the very end. They made a competitive offer to Alex Bregman. They're definitely not operating like a team that's rebuilding. Now, they are operating like a team that's kind of trying to get its house in order and clean some things up.
Yeah, who was the pitcher back in 2016 that invoked his no trade? With Hamels?
That, it was Cole Hamels.
Cole Hamels.
Yeah,
Cole Hamels wanted to go to Texas instead of Dallas, or instead of Houston.
Yeah.
Was it 2016? It was right before the Astros genuinely established themselves.
It was definitely before the World Series championship.
Yeah, that's the biggest one that sticks out in my mind as a guy that just flat out said, nah, not Houston.
Yeah.
I know his wife was from Dallas or whatever, but
I mean, Verlander was about to the first time, and then Dallas Keuchel sold him on coming here, reportedly.
Part of that was also that they, you know what, you're right, though, because that was 2017 before the Astros were the Astros.
They had won the World Series.
And they'd kind of just been hovering there, hadn't made any moves at the trade deadline, and Houston was underwater at the time.
Yes, too. Yes. That'd be fun if an Arenado trade came down while we were here.
Yeah.
That would be a scurrying down to the clubhouse to go get a lot of thoughts from people. That'd be good. But if I think just the mere fact that they're in on Arenado, that they're re-engaged there, tells me that Altuve's future is in left field for this team.
It just feels like everything the team is
Paredes
saying.
Paredes will go to second.
Everything they're doing is different than everything they're saying. They're saying they're not quite sure, but man, they're also saying it's a flat-out open competition to see who gets to start at second base, basically.
Yeah.
They're not saying starting, but I think somebody's going to be at second base other than Altuve.
All right, so you got the three things that you're amped up about: Altuve in left field, Cam Smith, Yoke John Singleton. Three things Seth is intrigued by: Paredes, plate discipline, seeing with how that plays out, automated strike zone, Bryce Matthews and DiCenzo, their offseason, the younger guys, and then the potential Arenado trade. All right.
Yeah. This is what depressed me.
Three things you're depressed
this
about.
This is what I'm depressed about. This was
Tell me, Seth.
This is a dagger to my
doctor
chest.
Is in.
As I try to figure out ways to hate Alex Bregman, which has been harder than I thought it would be. Usually it's right there, bubbling underneath the surface. I can tap into I can dip my finger into the water of the hatred at any point.
You're good at working it up,
yeah. And I've really been having a hard time working it up to hate Alex Bregman. And I felt like I was getting there. And then I read this weekend, this was in a Matt Kawahara piece, I believe, about DiCenzo and his offseason and all the things he did to work on his swing. But that also last year, he and Bregman used to sit at the computer together breaking down the mechanics, and Bregman was helping him with taking a little less of a kick step and all this stuff. Bregman, who sounds like, honestly, like he was the best veteran leader player ever, and he did it not conspicuously like Carlos Correa in his contract year when he'd always be the guy. Remember Carlos Correa in his contract year? Like, I'm going to go talk to the young pitcher.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well,
very animatedly,
ostentatious
too. In the
displays.
Middle of the field, the mound, making sure, double-checking to see if the red light was on the camera.
Yeah.
Which camera is it? And he's like, point that one.
Okay. All these stories about what an incredible leader Correa was all came out in his contract here.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
But with Bregman,
it's
all this behind-the-scenes stuff, like with DiCenzo.
So you're going to miss that.
I'm going to miss it makes me miss Alex Bregman a little bit.
He went 3-for-3 with a home run and a double yesterday.
Yeah.
He had a good game. He had a good game.
Sullivan, too.
But as you pointed out, no, Bregman, Sullivan for the Astros, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
I
was thinking, DiCenzo. DiCenzo had two hits yesterday.
DiCenzo
right?
had a good day, too. Yeah, I was talking about Bregman, sorry. Yeah. Pronouns. Yeah. Bregman had a good day. DiCenzo did, too. The Astros we were out eating lunch yesterday when we got here, me and Parker and Spo, and every time we looked at our phones, the Astros are scoring runs on the St. Louis minor leaguers. It was fun. All right, so depressed about Bregman. What else are you depressed about, young Seth?
I'm depressed about those concessions that they're making to move Altuve to the outfield. I'm excited about Altuve in the
Jeremy
outfield.
Jeremy Pena needs to stand 10 feet from him on the relay.
I don't like hearing Espada say, hey, don't worry, we got Jake Myers who's got a lot of range in center field. We're like, we know he has a lot of range.
Yeah.
He's lost at the plate.
The Pena one's the interesting one to me.
Yeah.
Jeremy, get out there. No further, Jeremy. Get closer to him. It's Altuve relaying it, Jeremy. You got no closer.
It's like saying Altuve's moving into pro bowling, but he's going to have to use bumpers.
Yes.
That's what it's like. He's pretty good as long as he's got the bumpers there.
Yes.
Because at the same time, they're telling us, hey, Altuve's arm is stronger than you think. I know he had the second weakest arm in the infield last year, but in the outfield, it's a little bit different, and he'll be just fine. Why is Pena 40 feet into the outfield for this cutoff?
It's like every outfielder in Major League Baseball is playing pro golf, and Altuve's out there playing putt-putt. Throw it through the clown's mouth, Jose. Throw it through the alligator's mouth.
I see Altuve basically screaming for help on some of the short fly balls.
That is a little depressing. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good one. What's your third one?
Just how hard I'm having to work to talk myself into Jake Myers and Chaz McCormick, which I'm doing. But then again, conflicting stories. You'll hear somebody say, like, well, yeah, Jake Myers has worked on his swing and he's figured a few things out.
Jake Myers has lost offensively.
He's worked out a few things. Yeah, and then they asked Jake Myers, what did you work on? He's like, just a bunch of the same old.
Yeah. Jake Myers, it's going to have to be, like, they're an imperfect team.
Yeah.
This is one of the concessions you're going to have to make, is that Jake Myers is your starting center fielder, and he sucks at hitting. It's just how it is. Now, Chaz has done it before.
Chaz
was banged up last year.
Right. Yeah, I think that last year it's easy to look. If you want to soothe your brain a little bit, just make it simple and look at Chaz's stats over his four seasons.
Yep.
And on the sum total of it all, he's a slightly above average hitter in the major leagues. It's just that last year was so bad. But if I'm trying to be as nerdy baseball about it as possible, or act like the baseball people do, which is you look at the sum total of things and what a guy is historically, one season doesn't usually, good or bad, really affect who that guy is. So I hopefully we can just look back and wipe last year off as just a miserable year for Chaz.
You make an Arenado trade and Chaz gets back to just being like, you know, like mid-high 700s OPS guy.
Yeah.
That's a good lineup. I mean, that's eight. That's, you got eight qualified big league hitters and Jake Myers.
It's like having Mariznick out there. You know, they did some good things with Mariznick in the outfield.
True. And the fact that you have Yiner Diaz as your catcher, like, there's not a lot of catchers that hit like Yiner.
Yeah.
So you're like, that is sort of an underplayed thing. Like, okay, you know, compared to the big league average at these positions, we're this, we're that.
First base and catcher, you got a little bit of an up that is a little secret hidden up.
Now that you got Walker at first base,
So, well, especially in comparison to last year.
Compared to last year. And I'm saying Yiner compared to the rest of baseball.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's a top five offensive catcher for sure. All right, man. Well, so are you more amped about the things you're amped about than you are depressed about the things you're depressed about?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No. The depression is just, that's always there.
Yeah.
There's always some things you're a little bit sad about.
Team's never
perfect.
That's
life, man.
Team's never perfect.
Without a little bit of anxiety, what are you even here for?
We got a text here. Mentioned this earlier that I got my check from the unclaimed property office, $297. Text message. Guys, I did the unclaimed property fund thing last week. Got back $300, roughly, between myself and my wife, thanks to you guys. Payne and Pendergast, providing financial tips, life advice, and questionable sports takes.
That's good. Yeah.
On a T-shirt.
I think we probably, in the aggregate, have probably already put, I would say, conservatively, $200,000 into people's pockets.
$1,500 in a certain person sitting at this table.
Yeah, our boss got $1,500 back from some weird shenanigans in Colorado.
Yeah, I don't
somebody
know what
had screwed
into
him over.
Yeah,
and so I conservatively, honestly, probably at least $20,000.
Probably
because we've gotten the people that have reached out to us and told us
unclaimed
that.
Property, man. Go Google it. Yeah, it's go get yourself paid.
And if you've done it in the past, do it again, because I got a few hundred dollars a few years ago, and then I just did the search the other day, and I've got another $250 coming to me.
Mine was $177 2 years ago, but I got frustrated with the data entry and whatnot. So then Amy went and looked it up like 2 weeks ago. She's like, you know, you have almost $300 in there now. I'm like, yeah, but I got, you know how I get. If I can't fill something out in the first 15 seconds, I'm just like, screw this, I'm not doing it. She's like, all right, fine, I'll do it. And literally like 2 minutes later, I get an email like, you've been approved.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I know. My wife's smarter than me. It's that's depressing to me.
But that's why you're good at sales, is that you like seeing the compensation immediately.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, I want to find out about that. You know, I want to make this deal now.
I'm a little administratively challenged.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Sometimes there's all kinds of things. Sean, I'm sitting on a revising my. I, I'm sitting on a tax refund deal from, well, 2022.
Yeah.
I had to revise some things. And I'm basically sitting on $15,000 that I'm going to get back because I was too lazy to find the receipts I needed to back in the day.
Okay.
And I would
fill out that paperwork.
And yeah, because that's like 6 weeks off into the future. I'm kind of like, I don't know. I gotta look into some of these minor
G's,
leaguers.
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, congratulations, man.
You should be ashamed of me because it was $15,000 that I should have had two years ago.
Oh, yeah, get a little bit of interest off of that.
I got audited for 2022, and lo and behold, it turns out, I'm like, oh, I'm going to make out like a bandit on this audit.
Oh, take that, IRS. I love you.
My accountant's awesome. I've been audited twice and gotten refunds back both times.
Really?
And before everybody at home says like, "Well, you withheld to it." No. It was because I hadn't found receipts that I needed to find.
When did you find?
So
this?
When I get audited, then I get scared.
Yeah.
And then I actually go digging.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Oh yes, of course, yes."
Has he been your accountant since you were a player?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's good. So you found somebody. Trust them, and they're awesome.
Oh, yeah, and he's, like, aggressive, but knows exactly what he's doing. Like, I've never gotten in trouble for any of the things he's done. And, like, I've been audited twice and gotten bigger refunds each time.
That's beautiful, man. That is nice. You know,
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV Plus.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What? This is a good segue into acknowledgement.
You know what happened one year, Sean? Is that, go ahead. Hey, this is a good segue. Let me capsize that segue.
What happened?
They were going through and auditing professional athletes specifically. Yeah. They targeted us. They were doing a study because they didn't know like what business expenses were and everything for justifiable. And my guy got me cleared on all my business expenses.
Look at you. Yeah. Oh, beautiful. All right, well, let's acknowledge Seth's accountant.
Rich Gruber.
Yeah.
He's out of Fort Lauderdale. I'm meeting with him Friday night.
Are you really?
After you guys leave.
Talk about your business?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Well, my audit.
Yeah. That'll be a fun dinner.
I'm coming out like a champ on this audit.
That's beautiful. All right, so we're acknowledging, what's his name,
Rich Gruber.
Let's acknowledge him again, Seth, or Ben.
Acknowledge
him. Here we go. Let's acknowledge Payne and Pendergast for getting everybody paid out of that unclaimed property fund.
Acknowledge me.
Yeah, we're acknowledging ourselves. All right, now some sports acknowledgments. Let's acknowledge the Cougs.
Acknowledge me.
Big win over Iowa State on Saturday. They had College Game Day in town. So that was exciting, seeing College Game Day, seeing all the, you know, all the fun and frivolity out there at the Fertitta Center. That was
Tank
good.
Dell and Case Keenum were out there.
Were they?
They were sitting courtside. Yeah.
Do you do the same thing I do every time I see Tank Dell? I'm like, okay, how's he look? Is he like? I know he's still on those tiny little crutches, but is he like?
Just tiny little crutches. You mean just like the hand crutches?
Like the hand crutches? Yeah.
They're not tiny because
he's tiny.
Not tiny
because he's small. No, they're tinier than normal crutches.
Yeah.
But is he in good spirits? How's he moving? You know,
he looked happy in the little shot I saw of him and him and Case cheering.
That's good. Were they sitting with each other, or were they just both in the game?
Yeah, it looked like it. Okay. Unless that was a special moment of the game or something. It looked like they were sitting in the second row.
They got paid a pretty nice compliment too, the Cougs, by Danny Hurley, the coach of the UConn Huskies, who have not been as dominant this year, even close, as they've been the last 2 years when they've won the national championship. Rick Pitino's St. John's team is really good this year. And Hurley and UConn got blown out by them this weekend. And Hurley, after the game, said that St. John's reminds me of Houston with what they do to you defensively and on the glass. I'm stunned that we were able to rebound them again, but we made up for it by turning the ball over 18 times. Hurley's the best.
Yeah.
But that was pretty cool, I thought. Like, Houston, like, just out of nowhere. They're not even in the same conference or anything. Just getting some love from Danny Hurley, so that was pretty cool.
It's gotten to the point now where there's a draft prospect whose name is Kelvin, and I realized, like, I have a better – I realized I had to – Kelvin Sampson has put such a shine on that name.
Yeah.
And I realized, like, wait a second. I don't think I like this kid as much as I thought I did.
That's right.
I'm just skewed by him being named Kelvin.
You got a big name.
It just seems like he's going to play – if he's going to play football the way Kelvin Sampson coaches, then hell yes, that's what I want.
That's right. All right, James Trafford.
Acknowledge me.
Who is he? He's the goalkeeper for Burnley. Burnley is the English Premier League team, who I think was relegated out of the Premier League. J.J. Watt's team. It's the team J.J. Watt owns. And apparently, and we may have talked about this on the show, like Trafford tweeted at J.J. Watt that he wanted him to come back and play for the Bengals because the Bengals is Trafford's favorite football team. And J.J. said that he would suit up for the Bengals if Trafford didn't allow any more goals this season. That was with about 20-some-odd games, matches left in the season. Since then, 13 straight clean sheets, they call
it.
Basically 13 straight shutouts.
Wow.
With James Trafford between the pipes. They've got 12 matches left still.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be
– he's already demonstrated that he can do it.
He's halfway there.
Oh.
He's done it 13 straight. He needs to do it 12 more.
If that happens, what's most likely? That J.J. earnestly comes back and plays for the Bengals or signs a one-day contract and has the Bengals cut him? I feel like
– he's definitely not coming back to play.
He might. He'd suit up. He says he'd suit up.
He would suit up.
I bet he'd come back for one practice or something.
That'd be a fun gimmick.
It'd be awesome if he went up for one practice in the OTAs and he tore his ACL. And then
he's your friend.
Right. No, yeah, but no, he'd be fine with it. He can do the rehab. But he'd have to the Bengals would have to pay him. They'd have to put him on
true.
IR.
That's true. Oh, God, that'd be funny.
You know, yeah, they would have to do, they'd have to say, look, this is a publicity stunt. You go ahead and pay this insurance policy.
Yeah.
Which, because I don't know why. Well, definitely the Bengals don't do it. You can actually get cap money back when you have the insurance policy
right.
on the player.
Yeah.
So I think that if the goalie does pull it off, I do think JJ does some kind of a publicity stunt with the Bengals where he suits up for him.
For sure, it won't die. The whole thing. Like they'll do something. All right, now it gets a little saucier. Tony Martinez.
Acknowledge me.
Who's Tony Martinez? He's a husband of a woman.
For now.
For now. Whose name is Nicole. Nicole Martinez.
Yeah.
If you're following social media at all this week, and this story probably popped up on your timeline, we can read exactly, let me count, zero of the texts that are in any of the screen grabs between Nicole Martinez and Steve Smith Sr., former wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers and the Baltimore Ravens, current NFL Network analyst, current podcast co-host with James Palmer, our good friend. If you were on social media at all and this didn't cross your radar, then I really wonder what the algorithm is doing with you, because Nicole Martinez is a member of the Marching Ravens, which I guess is part of their spirit squad before games.
Yeah.
Steve Smith Sr. is married with four kids. They had an affair. They slept with each other. And Tony Martinez, husband of Nicole Martinez, not only found out, but he went viral. He posted a bunch of screen grabs of texts between Steve Smith and Nicole Martinez. He posted a video of him calling Steve Smith on the phone to verbally confront him over this. A lot of awkward silence on the other end of things. The only two words uttered by Steve Smith in the whole conversation were, "I'm sorry," at one point in the middle of it. It's about as awkward as it gets. I've seen reactions to this ranging from, Steve Smith is a slime ball, to Tony Martinez is a clout chaser. I guess.
I don't know if he's a clout. The only way he could be a clout chaser on this is if this was all planned between him and his wife to set Steve Smith up
to
or something.
To look bad, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then try to get famous based off of that.
Most guys are embarrassed by something like this and don't want to put
I think
it
he's
out
lashing out, and it's as simple. You don't have to overthink this.
No.
He's lashing out.
No.
He wants to damage both Steve Smith and his future ex-wife.
If this type of story is something that you're not all that fond of, don't go find the text. If you like this kind of social media drama, this is pretty good.
I didn't know anything about this, Sean. Yeah. You just, as you insulted anybody that might not know anything about this, I didn't know anything about this until I came in and sat down on my
But it crossed your radar.
It crossed my radar. Yeah. I had seen there was something going on with Steve Smith.
Yeah.
But I just kind of like, I've been trying to just stick to just reported stories and everything so I don't go down rabbit holes on social
media.
Yeah. So I didn't know what the hell was going on. I figured I'd read about it at some point in the headline.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe it's in the headlines this morning. But I sat down last night and you're like, "Hey, Steve Smith."
Yeah.
And I was like, "What? Did he say creepy things to Bryce Young again?"
No. No, he didn't. Well, let's refresh here. Now, like, to Steve Smith. You know, so this is, I don't know how old Nicole Martinez is. Steve Smith has been out of football for a while. This was Steve Smith gushing over Bryce Young. What's more uncomfortable, the texts that are out there between Steve Smith and Nicole Martinez, the phone call between the husband and Steve Smith, or this bit of audio from the Alabama workout 2 years ago when Steve Smith is gushing over Bryce Young?
Everything that I've seen out of there, for me, I've seen bigger, more athletic quarterbacks not be able to anticipate the throw. That's not a knock on anybody, so before people start tweeting, you know who I'm talking about. I'm just talking overall in this evaluation process of a guy who's smaller in the measurables but has the heart and the desire to play. Man, I just sat there and watched you, and I'll be 44 years old. I could have got out there and ran those routes just the way you were guiding the ball. It was remarkable. I mean, I'm just like, I can lace him up. I can't do nothing, but it just sure looked good watching it, man. What a wonderful, wonderful display of why you deserve to be the first overall quarterback to be picked in this year's draft.
I really appreciate it. That means the world, especially coming from you.
That was just dripping with innuendo.
Yeah, man.
He talked to Nicole Martinez that same way.
I think he probably did. Yeah.
And a lot, just like Bryce Young, a lot of people are saying about this young lady that she doesn't necessarily meet all the physical standard physical measurables of what you might expect of an NFL quarterback or of a Steve Smith.
No.
The fling. This is some ugly stuff, man. This is some ugly, ugly stuff. These texts and whatnot, they're bad.
They're bad.
They're bad.
Well, they're dirty. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
They're
dirty.
Nobody looks good in this.
No, no.
Now, if we find out that the husband's a real jerk. That doesn't – Steve Smith –
Maybe.
Steve Smith, you're screwed no matter what because he's married with kids.
He's married. Well, he had this affair, and then, like,
yeah.
according to the internet, like a few weeks later, posted his Christmas card on there with his wife and four kids. You know what I mean? So yeah, he's screwed either way. So yeah,
I feel like Steve Smith Sr. is one of the athletes I would least like my wife to have an affair with. If I had to find out my wife was having an affair. Whereas,
yeah, because if you wanted to do something about it, he's someone who would scrap, probably.
I don't know. I feel like he might. It sounded like he might have sounded genuinely pretty bad about being caught.
He did. Knowing now what we know, he was. He was pretty.
I think more about just the whole. I've always liked him, but there's a part of it where you're like, man, all right, oh, that's who you're going to cheat on me with. Like, oh, you want to. Apparently, I need to act more like Steve Smith or something.
Yeah.
There's some athletes. Like, who's the Houston athlete that a Houston sports fan would be most forgiving of if they found out his wife was having an affair with him?
Jose Altuve, for sure.
I can't be mad at you, Jose.
No.
We'll keep this between you and me.
You can text
buddy?
Me right now.
Yeah, I was just like, listen, Jose, it's cool. Like,
it's
I prefer that you not do it again.
Yeah.
I prefer. Yeah, yeah.
You're probably going to get a few mulligans, if we're being honest, Jose. Yeah.
Who's the least favorite? Who's the one you would most want?
You know what?
Why is it Carlos Gomez?
I don't know. That's out of nowhere. Drive by a Carlos Gomez. You know what? I think the athletes that would bother me the most would be if they're really corny. Like, really? Like, I don't know if he counts as Houston, but like RG3. Like, RG3 is so corny. I'm like, really? Like, that guy talked you into it?
He's really funny.
No, he's not.
He's really funny. He's deep.
Johnny's
deep. He's not like you.
See, now you're making me mad. This hasn't even happened, as far as I know.
Wait, what about the corny Astros player, the pitcher that you.
Oh, Joe Biagini.
Joe Biagini. If Amy was like, I've met somebody, and he speaks to me in a way that. The earth moves beneath
me. Now I'm hot.
He does shadow puppets, Sean. When have you ever done shadow puppets with me?
He's the worst. That's it. That's the answer right there. Joe Biagini. All right, text in 713-572-4610.
Which Houston athlete, historically or current, would you be most forgiving of, and which one would you hate
most? That's right. Text in 713-572-4610. That's a little segment we call Acknowledge Me. All right, up next, mock draft injection. CBSSports.com's Tyler Sullivan. Who does he have going to the Texans? This is one that I know people near the somebody near the Texans really likes this guy that they have going in this mock draft. So mock draft injection, we do it every day at 7:45. Stay there.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.